Hello all! Hope you're having a happy weekend. Welcome to my podcast, Little Mind Chats. Minds are little, not our thoughts. I'm your host, Siona Vikram. Today, as part of my Inspiring Ingenuity series, I have a whole new topic to speak about. It's about vaccines, a new kind of vaccines. Have you had all of your vaccines yet? Remember those needle pricks? What is the reason for us to have these vaccines? They are meant for preventing diseases, right? So that we have a childhood and adulthood without these diseases. How about the new wave of diseases that we're all facing now as children of the digital age? Our addiction to digital devices and games is so high that we are not able to listen to our parents. Coupled with bad eating and sleeping habits, it's predicted that our future awaits us with a lot of these related diseases. Have you ever heard of the fact that a diamond can only be cut by another diamond? Similarly, scientists have come up with a great way of cutting this risk of diseases in the same digital devices we're addicted to. These are called digital vaccines. Digital vaccines are evidence-based prevention approaches that use digital technologies and devices for nudging or influencing positive human behavior via neurocognitive training. Sounds complex? Let me add a little more complexity to highlight the importance of these vaccines. These vaccines are gamified digital interventions that draw from principles of neuroscience, psychology, artificial intelligence or AI, pervasive computing, and behavioral economics to provide safe and low-risk mechanisms for dynamic neurobehavioral physiological modulation. Wow, sounds uber complex, eh? But here's the wow factor to why India deserves a pat on the back. We created history by getting the first ever patent for a digital vaccine. Are you wondering who could be responsible for this pride? It's Bhargav Sri Prakash. I'm feeling elated to share with you that this very history maker is here with us on this podcast today. Bhargav Sri Prakash was educated in the University of Michigan, has been an entrepreneur for a very long time. He established VMers in 2005, which was quick to advertise with a gamified 3D computer-generated experience reproduction stage for school enrolling and graduated class relations. He sold VMers in 2009. In 2008, he began a speculation asset and resource, the Executives Organization, Nirmana Investments, and filled in as an overseeing chief. In light of his involvement in VMers, he was named a business visionary individual of the Kauffman Foundation in 2011. Hello, Bhargav. Welcome to my show.
Thank you, Siona. Thank you so much for such a lovely introduction. And I'm super excited to be here. So thank you for having me.
Yeah, I'm super excited that you're on my podcast today. So moving on to my first question. How does a digital vaccine work?
A digital vaccine is a new type of vaccine that we've been working on and researching for the last 12 years. Mm. It's a project that is based at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh. And it's a collaboration between many universities and many researchers across the world, from the University of Michigan, Pittsburgh Children's Hospital, Stanford School of Medicine, Baylor College of Medicine, the University of Oxford, and Johns Hopkins University at the Bloomberg School of Public Health. So how does a digital vaccine work? It really uses technology and uses an app to deliver this technology. It's non-invasive, so there are no needles involved. It basically has been proven that with this technology, we can boost the immune system of a child, and we're able to prevent a whole number of illnesses and diseases. So it's a vaccine that in the future will not have needles, will just be about game like fun. But it has been proven to prevent us from getting sick. So that's what a digital vaccine is.
That's a really good approach.
Yes, absolutely. And that's part of where things are going as far as, technology and medicine is, there is a very exciting kind of a change or an evolution of medicine, and where medicine itself is becoming more digital. So we're going to have a future where, the doctors may actually prescribe technology, these apps, prescribe these games, and they are backed with all the science, like taking a pill or taking an injection, or we're able to do some of those things with technology and with a lot fewer risks and obviously a lot less pain because there are no syringes or needles involved.
Yeah, and that can also bring in an eco-friendly change, because most of this medical waste, since it's been in touch with all these germs and this medical stuff, with our body and everything, it can't really be recycled with the other usual stuff. So there's a big problem over there. If it's an app, then you could have it on a device that you already have. You don't need to go buy new devices.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely brilliant, right? Because you talked about, one of the advantages to using technology like this, on which can be delivered on your phone or your iPad or your tablet or even a computer. So we're using existing technology that's in the hands of a lot of people around the world, and there's nothing physical. So we're not manufacturing medicines. We're not shipping medicines. We don't have to store medicine, so there's no expiration date. You don't have to refrigerate medicines, because some of these medicines require to be stored at a colder temperature. And then, of course, there's the big point that you raised, which is about medical waste. So what happens to the syringes after you're done? It usually goes in the garbage. There are other toxic materials that are generated in the creation of these medicines, and then the disposal of these medicines. So this new kind of evolution or the future of medicine will hopefully, do away with a lot of those disadvantages.
Yes, I mean, now you don't need to pay a buckload of money to go to the doctors and then get the vaccine. Like, you have to pay for the doctors, you have to pay to get the vaccine, you have to pay for this, you have to pay for that. Instead of that, you could just download a small game on your device that won't take up much memory, hopefully. And that's pretty much the job done.
Yeah, no, that absolutely. So I think there is a lot of efficiency that can happen. And this is not just unique to this area of, technology being used for, things we used to do in the past in different ways. Like, if you look at other industries that are currently, say, polluting a lot, even this Zoom call, right? You can imagine that, many years ago, it wasn't possible to have an interview or do a recording of a video like this. We would have to travel someplace. We would have to go to a studio. And then you would have to drive in a car. I would have to drive in a car. Maybe we have to, travel by plane to get to the studio. So all of that ends up, creating and using up so much of resources and creating pollution. But Zoom, as just a software program, all of a sudden it allows us to almost be face to face and have this this incredible conversation, and then it serves the purpose. And you can record this, and then we can share it with the whole world, and a lot less damage was done to the planet than the way we used to do it in the past. So I think the same kind of revolution will happen in the world of medicine, and the focus on prevention, so we can figure out how to keep people and how to keep children as healthy for as long as possible.
Yeah. So what actually led to the invention of this beautiful technology, digital vaccine, all of this idea?
That's a great question. I am an engineer, so I studied engineering. And then I had, as you very graciously introduced me, I had, the opportunity to go to the U.S. for graduate school. And then I had a career as an entrepreneur, and then I came to this point in my life when I became a father. So my oldest daughter is almost your age, or just a year older than you.
Yeah.
So and so when she was born, I started, at least getting to see how she was responding to the world. And as you know, kids like you and her, you all know how to use the iPhone and the iPad. Yeah. Like it comes naturally to all of you. Nobody has to teach you this. You know how to use all this incredible technology. It's so user-friendly. But also it becomes a way by which a lot of harm can be created, which is not, because of this technology. So this technology becomes a way for children to be influenced in ways that is not in the best interest of their health,
Yes.
And so so then it becomes a way to trick children into making choices that are not good for them, right? So the whole idea was to, after I realized that my daughter started really, for example, liking or loving fast food, and junk food, and it's okay once in a while, but when you start getting tempted because of ads and advertising and toys and all the marketing that goes into making a lot of processed food so exciting, then children think that that's celebration. Children think that that's what is makes you happy, and then all your friends are doing it, so you want to also participate. But what is happening in the process is, children are consuming, are putting into their body by eating all this stuff that was completely unnatural. It comes from a box. It comes from a can. Usually this food was made many months ago. It comes in all this packaging. And then, it causes, over a long period of time, it can cause a lot of illness in children, right? So that's my realization when I saw that happen to my daughter. She had she developed food allergies, and she developed asthma. Yeah, she developed asthma because she was not, and we were not aware either. We weren't really thinking about her diet, and we lived in America. And so then we realized that, man, we have to do something. I can't be upset, because I wasn't happy that the world was almost designed to get children to become sick. And once you become sick, like you said, you go to the doctor, you take medicine, you take more medicine, you do a lot of scans. And usually that doesn't solve the problem, but there are a lot of side effects. So that's when I realized, man, we really need to help the next generation. Like the future generation should really grow up, being very strong and disciplined about their health. So that health is so important. When you only realize how valuable it is when you don't have it. So, we want to make sure that children value their health and behave in ways that are beneficial to them, so that their health can be protected for the rest of their lives. So that's how digital vaccines began. But 12 years we've spent doing a lot of research in terms of how this technology can stimulate the brain, we use a lot of neuroscience, and we've also seen in these very elaborate, rigorous, world-leading trials or experiments how the digital vaccine can actually start helping the child stay healthy. So we've actually shown that children who use this fall sick a lot less. And it can be sickness like even the flu or fever or COVID or even other long-term, as we grow older, we get a lot of other diseases like diabetes, heart disease, cancer. So all those things we can prevent if we are able to teach children how to, behave in a way that's beneficial to them. So that's how it all came together. And we still have a long way to go. But the idea is that, through fun and through what feels like games for children, that we can build stronger. And, it's all about fit, food, and fun. So the idea of Fuya is that it should be about fit, food, and fun.
Yeah. But one thing that's, it's a good concept and all, like training the psychology of a child very slowly to start making better choices through fun and no painful shots. Won't that have a bad effect on our eyes?
It's a fantastic question. It's a very important consideration. And when you look at things in medicine, the one thing that medicine always recognizes is that there can be good and bad in terms of anything that you propose for health. It's almost impossible because depending on how much of something, it can become bad, right? So too much of something can become bad. Too little of something can also be bad. But just in the right amount, it can be best. It can be good for you. So that's almost a kind of an accepted idea in medicine. Because if you get a fever, maybe you take a medicine. You take a syrup or a cough syrup. But if you have too much of the cough syrup, it can be dangerous. It can be very dangerous, So like that, we analyzed and we studied. And the one thing that we do when we start working in medical research is that there are, committees, or there are groups of scientists and doctors, lawyers. There are a lot of people who sit on a committee, and they evaluate any experiment, especially when it involves children. They evaluate it much more rigorously and much more kind of in depth. So they really look at, see, what are the benefits? What are the harms? What are the risks, right? So how can this idea of using the screen, what are the pluses and what are the minuses? So they really debate this, and we talk about it. We think about it from different ideas, different perspectives. Each person on the committee thinks about it and asks questions. And then they come to a consensus, or they vote, and they decide whether this is even okay to give to children, so that we can even study whether the children get any benefit. So there is it's called an internal review board, right? And that's how they even undertake science. So when they did that, they asked, what about the light from the screen? Will that damage the retina of the child? What about the fact that the child is not outside playing, instead they're on a device? Isn't screen time a bad thing? And what about the radiation from these devices? Right. So we had to answer all those questions. And then we said, well, just for 30 minutes a week. And so we set that amount based on all these risk factors. So 30 to 45 minutes a week, which isn't much. It doesn't do much damage to the retina. We know that. We've already seen that it doesn't do any damage. But now we know that even that 30, 45 minutes a week has a lot of benefits in terms of being able to prevent COVID and preventing all these diseases, preventing or lowering the risk of cancer and diabetes and heart disease. This damage that may happen on the retina is a minimal trade-off, right? So you trade that off because the benefits far outweigh the risks. So that's how we make a medical decision about whether something is even allowed to be tested with children. And now that we know, we are able to say for sure that that you know, no harm gets created, no real serious harm can be created by giving the digital vaccine with this prescribed duration of around 30 minutes a week.
You should take consider of all of those things when you're releasing something as big as this, especially when it's digital.
Yeah, absolutely. We've been thinking about it and working on it for a long time, making sure that we get it right, because children are worth it. They're our future. So we have to do it. We have to do it with their best interest in mind.
So what in your childhood motivated you the most? I mean, what made you get into digital vaccines?
So, you know, one of the things that I did when I was young, and in my as a teenager, I used to play a lot of tennis, and I used to play very competitive tennis. I played for the state. I played for the country. At one point, my dream was to play play Wimbledon and things like that.
Wow.
But I also, at that point, you know, playing tennis, you're very much conscious of your fitness, your health, right? And the one thing, when I look back, I realized that we really were not thinking so much about nutrition. We were not thinking about diet, right? We were thinking about exercise, but we were not really paying attention to diet. If you look now, I think, tennis players today are just extremely disciplined about their diet. And that's why you're able to see, you know, the best tennis players in the world, like Djokovic and Rafa Nadal or Serena Williams and you know, all these tennis players play for many, many, almost tens of years, like 20 years, is there? 20, 25 years, right? They've been continuing to play at the highest level. That's because they really take good care of themselves. And that's because they're very, very particular about what they eat, when they eat, how they eat, how they train, and all of that. Now, so I realized that from growing up, you know, nutrition and diet was something that we weren't so focused on, as disciplined as we should have been. And so I wanted to make sure that the next generation doesn't make the same mistake. So after I had children, I really wanted to focus on making sure that their health, especially after my daughter Ameya had all these complications, I realized that this is not just a problem that we were facing, but it's a problem that, you know, parents and children around the world are facing. So we wanted to make sure that we can try and do something to make all children healthy around the world.
Yeah, that's a really good aim, I must say. One thing actually kind of leads to the other, just like a river. So the next and final question is, what is your advice to children in this digital world?
So the digital world is a fascinating new kind of evolution. None of us have been here before. None of us know, what is good and what isn't right for us. And nobody really has the experience, because we've never seen it before. So we're basically, for children, you're all coming into the world with the ability to have an iPhone and use all this technology. I think you definitely need to know how to live with it and take advantage of it. But a lot of digital technology is all, it can be confusing, it can be very, very addictive and very, yes, you know, it can be misleading, you know, it can make us focus on all the wrong things. So you want to make sure that you're aware that all things digital are not automatically exciting or good for you, so that you can be much more thoughtful about what you choose and what limits you set for yourself, and how you want to leverage the technology to your advantage. And also, I think children should focus on thinking about how to use technology to create a better world, right? So yeah, because you understand this technology so well, if you can actually really be creative and think about using technology to solve huge problems, whether it is climate, whether it is health, whether it is people, humanity, whether it's animals, you know, there's so many huge problems that exist today in the world. But with technology, since you understand technology so well, maybe you can come up with solutions of technology that are much more thoughtful, that actually do good and create a better world for everybody. So that's what I hope children will do with digital technology.
Yeah, definitely. Because this technology and what we see online and all of that, it actually kind of has an effect on our psychology. We start thinking in those terms of whatever we're watching online. And then if we're watching science shows, then we start thinking more scientific. If we're watching misleading content, we start thinking misleading, rather. Kind of hypnotizes you, really.
Yes, absolutely. That's exactly why it's so powerful. But also, you have to be careful with it, you know? And if you can use it, anything that is powerful can be used for good, or it can also be used for evil or bad, you know? Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that you're thoughtful, that first you understand it very deeply, and then you decide where it's right for you, and then use it accordingly. So it's important for children to be really well educated and informed about the benefits and the risks of digital technology.
Wow, that was such a good interview. I learned so much about how metaverse and the digital world can help with preventing diseases. Thank you so much for being on my podcast, Bhargav sir.
Thank you, Siona. I'm so excited. This is my favorite podcast show I've ever been on. All the best. And looking forward to seeing all the great things you're going to do in the future. So thank you for having me again.
Thanks, and you're welcome. So friends, that brings us to the end of this conversation. What did you learn from this episode? I definitely learned a lot about how digital vaccines can actually help out the planet and our very own long-term health. Are you considering downloading Fuya now? I think you should. I've played the game myself and it is pretty fun. Well then, adios amigos. See you in the next episode. Thanks a ton for listening. Bye!